Wow, that was fun. It was a fun week, for sure, for sure. So I talked to some people this week. Last week we talked about being a reason for existing as a church is being on mission, right? Whole purpose is being on mission. And not only did we get to do mission this week with kids, right? But I talked to a number of people this week who had amazing opportunities to just randomly, God brought people in their path, and they got to talk to them about the love of Jesus. And so I just, Evangel, way to go. Everybody, way to go for being a church on mission. And I also talked to some people this week who were going through some challenging stuff, some hard things, difficult things. There's a verse in the Bible that says, 1 Timothy 1, verse 18 and 19, it says this. Paul, an older dude, is writing to a younger dude, and he says, Timothy, my son. Now, he wasn't really his son, but he was a young guy that he was encouraging and mentoring. He said, Timothy, my son, I'm giving you this command in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by recalling them, by remembering what God has called you to do, right? By recalling them, you may fight this battle well, holding on to faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and have suffered shipwreck with regard to the faith. Right? Sometimes we can let go of faith and a good conscience, and we can become shipwrecked. We talked all this week about shipwreck, right? Life and living for Jesus in this crazy world is a battle. It is a battle. Paul said to Timothy, I want you to fight this battle well. I want you to do it well, right? There are dangers at every turn, but God has given us everything we need to overcome. Everything we need to avoid becoming a shipwreck. But even if we do, and many of us in this room have at some point in our lives, even if we do shipwreck our lives, Jesus rescues. Amen? Amen. So we're gonna take a quick look at actually, boys and girls, there's actually a shipwreck story in the Bible that's really amazing. It's the story of a guy named Paul, the guy that wrote to Timothy, guy named Paul, and he actually went through a shipwreck, like a real, not just a metaphorical, like faith shipwreck. He actually had a shipwreck. And we're gonna go through that story really quickly. So Paul had been in prison for 2 years just for talking to people about Jesus, right? And in order to get free of prison, because Paul was a Roman citizen, he could say, I wanna bring my case before the emperor, Caesar, the emperor in Rome. And so Paul, so they said, okay, we're gonna send you to Rome, Paul. And Paul got on a ship, and he had to go all the way, halfway across the Mediterranean, all the way to Rome. But look at this right here. That was a big storm we're going to talk about. Big storm that happened in Paul's journey to Rome. Boys and girls, big people, are you ready? When you're lonely,
Jesus loves you.
All right. So Paul got a warning as they're going to set out from one of the places where the ship was. Paul got a warning from God that if they left that port and they traveled at that time, they were going to have disaster. They were going to have a shipwreck. So Paul went to the people in charge, the captain of the ship. He said, we need to not go right now. So it says in chapter Acts 27, verse 9, it says this. So Paul warned them, men, I can see that our voyage is going to be disastrous. That sounds like a great trip, doesn't it? It's going to be disastrous and bring great loss to ship and cargo and also to our own lives. But the centurion, the soldier in charge, the centurion, instead of listening to what Paul said, followed the advice of the captain and owner of the ship. You ever feel like no one listens to you? I mean, you're not always right, but it'd be nice if people listen to you once in a while, right? And sometimes sometimes one of the loneliest things in our lives, one of the things that makes us feel alone in this world is when we don't feel we have a voice and people don't listen to us, right? And Paul had to keep trusting Jesus to be his protector and his rescuer even when others wouldn't listen to him. Are you ready? When you're worried, so the ship set out, even though Paul said we shouldn't do it, the ship set out from Crete, from the island of Crete. When there was, and there was a gentle breeze, it says. It says there was a gentle breeze. How many like a gentle breeze? Right? But how many know sometimes in life a gentle breeze can become a storm with no warning? Right? And that's what happened. Verse 14. It says, before very long, a wind of hurricane force called a nor'easter, right? Called a nor'easter, swept down from the island. Now, in Bathurst, we know something about a nor'easter, don't we? Right? The worst winter storms, right, our nor'easters. The wind comes out of the northeast and pounds our city, pounds our region, and we know about a nor'easter, right? And when you are in the middle of that kind of storm, in the middle of the ocean, can you imagine? Right? In the middle of the ocean. That can be even more dangerous. And so verse 15, it says this. The ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind, so we gave way to it and were driven along. They couldn't steer anymore and basically just got carried along by this crazy nor'easter storm. The storm got so bad, it says, then they passed ropes under the ship itself to hold it together, because they were afraid they would run aground on the sandbars. They lowered the sea anchor and let the ship be driven along. We took such a violent battering from the storm, it says, that the next day they began to throw the cargo, the stuff they were carrying in the ship, overboard. And the next day they threw all of the ship's equipment overboard to try and not drown. It says, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, this was a long storm. The storm continued raging. We finally gave up all hope of being saved. Wow. Wow. When you've got to wrap your ship in ropes to hold it together, you know you're in trouble, right? How many feel sometimes like you got to wrap your life in ropes? You're gonna blow apart in the storm if you don't wrap yourself in ropes, right? But even in the midst of that, when we're worried, when we don't know what's going to happen, when we don't know how we're going to weather the storm, we can know that Jesus rescues. Yeah. Are you ready? When you struggle, so it says, then it says, after they had gone a long time without food, That's great. Jesus, rescue me with a hamburger. Yeah. When they'd gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said this, "Men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourself the damage and loss. But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Last night," Paul said, "an angel of the God whom I belong to and whom I serve stood beside me and said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar. And God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men. For I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island.'" Right? So have courage. God's got us. But there's going to be a shipwreck. Right? You ready? When you do wrong, then it says this, in an attempt to escape from the ship, the sailors, guys who were running the ship, let down the lifeboat into the sea, pretending that they were lowering some anchors from the bow. Right? So they go up to the front of the ship, drop down some anchors, or say they're going to drop down some anchors, and they drop the lifeboat. They're going to jump in and take off. Right? Then Paul said to the centurion, to the head soldier, "Unless these men stay with the ship, you cannot be saved." So the soldiers cut the ropes that held the lifeboat and let it drift away. Isn't that interesting? When we come up, when we try to come up with our own solutions in the midst of a storm and in the midst of troubles, instead of trusting Jesus, when we try to come up with our own solutions, it will always end us up in trouble. Right? These guys were trying to escape and leave everyone else to die, and that was terrible, right? But Paul spoke up and he said, "I think it's kind of crazy that the soldiers cut the ropes of the lifeboat, the one thing that's going to save them, right? They cut the ropes and let it go just because this prisoner, this nobody named Paul, says, we need to do this, right? Here's a little nugget. When we have hope in our hearts, in a world that is hopeless, and we speak up with hope, people listen to us. Because there are people all around us in this world that are walking through this world with no hope. And when, as followers of Jesus, we speak with hope, wow, people will listen, right? Lastly, here we are. When you are powerless, all right, so here's where it gets really crazy, boys and girls. Listen to this. After the ship ran aground on the island, so the ship crashes, right? The ship crashes. And it says the soldiers, so they're out in the middle of the water near the island, but they have to get to the island. It says the soldiers planned to kill all the prisoners so that they would not escape. But the centurion, the head soldier, wanted to spare Paul's life, so he kept them from doing it. He ordered those, boys and girls, how many of you can swim really well? Yeah, good. How many of you really still like to have a life preserver or a floaty when you're swimming? Right? Yeah. So here's what it says. He ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and get to land, and the rest they gave planks and boards and pieces of the ship as floaties to get them to the island, right? And then it says, once they were safely on shore, we found that the island was called Malta. The islanders showed us a lot of kindness, and they built a fire and welcomed us because it was raining and cold. Everybody go, right? It was raining and cold, and they made a fire. And it says, Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, and as he put it on the fire, a viper, a venomous snake, came out of the brush and latched onto Paul's hand. A venomous snake grabbed onto his hand. And it says, but Paul shook off the snake into the fire and was unharmed. Wow. How many think you'd be powerless if a venomous snake bit you, grabbed hold of your hand? I'd feel a little bit powerless, right? I mean, what can I do? I'm already bit. No hospital. I'm on an island. Right? But did Jesus know that snake was going to bite Paul? Is there anything that surprises Jesus in our lives? No. When we feel powerless, Jesus rescues, right? And then it says there was a big house nearby that belonged to the chief official of the island. He welcomed us to his home, showed us generosity for 3 days. His father was sick in bed, suffering from many things, and Paul went in to see him, prayed for him, and healed him. When this happened, the rest of the sick people on the island came to Paul, and he prayed for them and healed them. Right? Here's Paul, bit by a snake, supposed to die. But did Jesus leave him powerless? No, he not only protected him and healed him, but he used his life to heal other people, right? That's the kind of rescuing Jesus does for us. I am so glad. We're almost done. I am so glad Jesus rescues. He rescued me. He rescued most of the grown-ups in this room this morning. And if you need rescuing today, Pastor Ocean did a great job explaining the good news of the gospel, the good news of Jesus. And if you need rescuing today, whether you're lonely or worried or struggling or have done wrong or are powerless or need your sins forgiven, the only one to go to today is Jesus. Amen? He is a good, good rescuer. We're going to pray. Pastor Rosa is going to come up and lead us to the closing. But God, we thank you that you are our rescuer. We thank you that you love us. We thank you that you are with us. We pray that you would take the seeds of the truth that not only the kids have learned all this week, but that we've talked about today. Let them go in our hearts and grow in our hearts and change our lives, that we would follow you all the days of our lives and not become shipwrecks, but live for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay. On day 3, I struggled a lot. Jesus, and then, rescues. Yeah. And so on day 4, I had to ask forgiveness because I did wrong. I know. And I'm really grateful that Jesus rescues, and he rescues through forgiveness. And it was because of housekeeping. So, housekeeping, we've got housekeeping to do. We have some housekeeping. Something's happening today. We have something for our grand prize. Our grand prize. Grand prize. We had the opportunity for our kids. We had a grand prize on the Friday, but then the super big prize, super big grand prize is today. And they got to be here to do it, to have it. That was our thing. So, the super grand prize today is a drone. How grand is that? I think that's pretty grand. I'd be pretty stoked if I got a drone. Okay, and how did we get the opportunity to have our name, to have a ballot in the basket for the grand prize? Yes? We got to bring a friend. What else? Yes? We got to come every day, so attendance. What else did we do? Yes, Piper? We had to do a memory verse. Do you remember our memory verses? You remember them? Do you know what day one's memory verse was? Yeah, anyone? Yes? The Lord will hold me close, Psalm 27:10. I think we get an extra one for that. You know what? Why not? Can I have a pen? Do you have a pen? I'm going to get a pen because we deserve that. Thank you. Okay, so lights, you're going to get another one. Okay. What's day two? Yeah? Well, you don't get it. Day two. Yes. Psalm what? The Lord comes to the rescue each time. Psalms 34:19. Okay, day three. Piper. Be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46:10. You want to put it in?
Yeah.
Okay, here you go. In the bucket. Okay. Oh, you're putting it right there. Okay, put it in. Okay, go sit. Day four. Dahlia? Oh, Dahlia's got this. Okay, what is it? Loud, loud, loud. Shh, shh, shh. What is it? Woo! Awesome! Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. John 16:33, not Psalm. There's too many Psalms. Not too many. There's a good amount. Exactly. Dahlia. Okay. Day five. Light. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. Ephesians 1:19-20. That is awesome. Okay, just to let you know, our kids had no idea that they had to know it for today. Just an FYI, we in our kids' jam, in our Sunday school, like in our Sunday school kids class, on like for Sunday mornings, we focus on hiding God's word in our hearts. And it's not just memorizing, but keeping it there, holding it, hiding God's word in our hearts. So I am thrilled and ecstatic that you guys are hiding God's word in your hearts. So I'm so proud of you. Thank you. Okay. Now, mixing up. You know what? For that, can you take a handful? Take a handful. Take a big handful out. Take a big handful. And yeah, those are all disqualified. Please pick a name.
Bum, bum, bum. Oh! Hey! Hey!
What is this name, Pastor Andrew? I don't know.
Helani, she here? You have to be here to get the prize.
Woo!
She's here. Whoa!
Here you go. That is awesome. Awesome.
All
awesome.
Right. Well, thank you, Pastor Ocean, and thank you all. It's been a fantastic morning. You can see we had a great time this week. Would you all stand with us as we close in prayer? Father God, we love you. We worship you. We are so thankful for your goodness and mercy. So thankful for the ways that you work in our lives. May you continue to remind us daily that you are our rescuer. You are our lifesaver. You are our hope and our strength. Go with us today throughout the rest of this summer. May we walk in your blessing, with your presence, in your peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.